How many of you know what Genesis chapter 3 or chapter 6 and verse 3 says? Memorize that. Mark it down and memorize it. Chapter 6 and verse 3. And in the process, well, I'm in the wrong one there. Here's chapter 6 over here. And the Lord said, and I tell you, when God says something, we better pay attention. And when God uses His man to say something, that's as if God is saying it. We need to pay attention. He said, give ear to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time you let them slip. And then something very precious you're losing out on. That's right. I would that we could have people to obey the Lord and listen to God. It's not enough to hear God, but He requires obedience. That's right. Many people have got ear, but they don't hear God anymore. So give special attention. God's got something to say to you. Amen. Now, in Isaiah 10:4, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. My. The Spirit of the Lord left him. And what happened? The Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and an evil spirit from, not from the devil. An evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Is God that away? That's what the Bible said. If the Spirit of God departs from you, God will allow a spirit of the devil to trouble you. There are people that have departed from God. And some of you sitting right here are thinking they're having a great time. They're enjoying things. But they are not. As they preached to me years ago, people have got to live with their conscience after they get through the rubbish of sin. You may not know it, but they become some of the miserablest people in the world. While they think they are living, they are dying. Dying in sin. I mentioned this some time ago. It was in Dallas, Texas, that a man lost his little girl. She died. And the day of the funeral, when the pastor had finished the funeral, this man asked him, "Pastor, would you ride with my family and I to the cemetery?" He said, "I know that's not proper, But I'd like for you to ride with me. And the pastor consented that he would, got into the car. The funeral procession started off, and he said, I could detect there was something troubling this man. There was something wrong. He wanted to tell me about it. And I prayed softly, God, let him open up and tell me what he wants to tell me. And he said, finally, as we got to the one part of Dallas, he said he began to talk to me. And he said, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. He said, 7 years ago, when I came to this church, he said, you would preach. And he said, something would get a hold to me that would cause me to be emotional. I would weep. I would cry. Oh, can I stop right there and ask you a question? Has that left you? He said, but now you are a better preacher after 7 years. And he said, you can preach. I don't have any emotion. I don't have any feeling that God is dealing with my heart. He said, I can't cry anymore. I can't feel anything when I come into church anymore. No tears are running down my cheek. He said, years ago, when I was a shoeshine boy, see that great big high building? I shine shoes in the front of that building. Cold, hardly no shoes to wear. He said, but now I'm a multimillionaire. I've got it made. That building over there is the highest one in Dallas. That's my building. And I got my offices on the top floor. I'm a multimillionaire. But Pastor, tell me what? I can't feel anything from God. I can't even cry at my own little daughter's funeral, one I loved. And he turned around and he said, Pastor. Or I looked over at him and he said, Pastor, could you tell me what has happened to me? Now I want to preach on that. What's happened to me and what's happened to you? He said, I've had everything now, but I don't have God. There was a time I could weep in the service. There was a time I had a desire to go to church. What's happened to me? Can I ask, are you here this morning like that? The desire is going out of your heart to be in church. Yes, you still come to church. Yes, you still sing the songs. Yes, you still pray in the altar. But you cannot feel it.
like you once did. What has happened to you? And when that man asked that pastor, "Can you tell me what's happened to me?" That pastor said, "I turned and looked at him. And he said, 'Sir, the Bible said my spirit will not always strive with man. The Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found.'" And he said, "The only thing I have to say to you, you have crossed the deadline. That's what's happened to you. You have crossed the deadline." I may be preaching to somebody this morning. You are nigh crossing the deadline. You still come to church, but to have a real desire to be there and have a desire to be blessed of the Lord, it's gone. There was a time that tears would run down your cheeks. You enjoyed what God was doing. Today, people can sit in the church with not a tear. They can sit in church and pop their bubble gum. They can sit in church and look at pictures. There's no interest. They're just going to church to keep up with society, so to speak. There's times that you stop in your tracks and wonder, "How far have I gone? I've been to church now a year, and I have not felt the move of the Spirit of God in my life. What's happened?" It's time, before it happens, to ask, "What can I do before that happens to me?" There are people that can curse and then talk about the Lord. They are people that have come to this church that are so hard-hearted, you cannot reach them. God cannot touch them. They have come to the place to where the Bible said they're past feeling. They cannot feel their need to pray any longer. God can't touch them. And if God can't touch them, neither can I touch them. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you already know. The hardest people to touch is not Catholics, is not Methodist, is not Presbyterian, is not Lutheran. You know who the hardest people are to touch? Is backslidden Pentecostals that once sat in the church and enjoyed the full blessing of God. I think one of the greatest tragedies in the world is for people to die in the church, right on the church pew, die with blessings of God flowing, Holy Ghost move, and people dying, sitting there dying. It's a tragedy. It's worse than an automobile tragedy. It's worse than being eat up with cancer. At one time, they could raise their hand and feel the Shekinah glory of God come down. But what's happened? Can you ask yourself the question, what has happened to me? God, you can talk to the backslider, the backslidden Pentecostal person. You cannot get anywhere with them. As Brother McNutt told me last night, not knowing what message I was going to preach this morning, he just talked to a feller the other day that was once in the Pentecostal holiness movement. I'm not sure, did you tell me he had experienced the Holy Ghost? Married to the pastor's daughter and experienced the Holy Ghost, but wants nothing to do with it now. What's happened? I want to tell you, he got his mind more on himself and what he wanted than what God had for him. What's happening to you that you got your mind set on something that's more important than what God is? Cannot be touched, cannot be reached. Oh God, help us, Lord, that we'll wake up and say, God, touch me one more time. God, move in my heart one more time. God, open my eyes that I can see how far I've gone, how far I've drifted, how much I've let down. At one time I could be moved by God, but I can't be moved by the Lord. I don't listen to Him like I used to listen to Him. One of the great writers of old made the statement, where are the prophets that can wake up the godly anymore? You can wake up an old sinner on the street more than you can wake up some people in the church that has become calloused and hard-hearted. Oh God, we need to pray, God, don't let my heart get hard. We can do everything for self, but we can't do anything for God. We're too sick to come to church, but we're not too sick to go to some kind of a party. What's happened to us? We used to could get down and pray and feel the power of God in our life and weep and pray for our children and for our neighbors. But what's happened? Oh, what's happened? We used to feel the urge to come to this altar, but we don't feel that urge anymore. Tell me, for God's sake, what's happened? We used to want to sing in the choir. We used to want to teach a Sunday school class. We used to want to, amen, do something for God's sing specials. But we make excuses and reasons now so we won't have to do it. What's happened to us? We used to could raise our hands in the church when there was a song being sung, and There was times we felt like it and did it, got up out of our seat and walked down to the altar and fell humbly before God. But where is it at now? I said, what's happened? I don't know why. Oh God, there's some need to get a new hope. If you don't, you're going to have a hard heart. Every time you miss church, and there's no reason for it, just an excuse. Your heart is getting a little farther and farther away from God. Oh, I could name some things this morning that would really get down to the nitty gritty. That people will do for neighbors. They'll do for others. But they won't do it for God. What's happened? At one time when company come to see them, they would tell them, look, I've got church tonight and I'm going to church. But what's happened now? They're glad to have them come on church night and sit there and drink lemonade and eat popcorn and laugh and joke while others are in the church praying and seeking God for their children to be saved. What's happened? Where's the burden for them children? That preacher said, sir, the only thing I've got to say is you've crossed the deadline. You've gone too far. How far have you gone this morning? Has the Spirit of God departed from you? There was a time that when you felt like you had disobeyed God, you wept and cried and repented and prayed and sought God. But now you can do things that's absolutely contrary to the will of God and never feel a conviction. What's happened? There was one time you thought the house of God was more important than your job and your sleep and anything else. Preacher, will you tell me what's happened to me? Is there anybody want me to tell you what's happened to you this morning? Or you want to continue until you cross the deadline? There was another feller. His name was Carl. Carl come into this revival and I heard the evangelist tell it. Came into a revival that he was preaching. Carl didn't have a thing. You got to watch when you begin to prosper. Got saved and gloriously saved. Carl would go out and get others and bring them into church. How long has it been since you had a burden to go get somebody and bring them into church? We have become to the place now that we are satisfied in going to church and we don't care about the world out there that's gone to hell. I know the world. If they don't repent and get right with God, they're going to hell. But I'm going to tell you, there's people right in the church that if they don't repent and get right with God and get to obeying God and doing things for God, they're going to hell. Where is your love for God? What's happened? Tell me, preacher, what's happened? The man that was cutting out trees to get down the river. When the man of God said, or they said, man of God, we want to move from here and get down. We want to build another tabernacle. He said, well, I'll go with you. Or some people don't want their pastor along. They'd like to have some other one. They don't want their pastor in the pulpit preaching. They'd like to have somebody else that won't shell the corn, and they can live there and go to church and be comfortable. If you ever get comfortable with a preacher preaching with sin in your life, that preacher's not preaching what you need. He's preaching what you want. There was a man in the Bible, a group of people, Israel, rose up and said, we want another king. We don't want this king that's preaching holiness, telling us how to live, telling us what to do. We want somebody else's. Don't bring us face to face with sin. What's happening to you? That you don't want a preacher to bring you face to face with your sins, wherein that you can have some godly sorrow for your sins and repent. Do we not covet the blessing of God? Do we not covet the freedom that God gave us when we got saved? Does it not mean anything to us? Tell me what's happening. When you can sit there when the Holy Ghost is moving like it was last night, with dried eyes, cold heart. How long has it been since you felt like weeping before God? What's happened? Amen. I thank God continually that I can weep before Him. I can weep when the service is going on. What's happened? God gave them, Israel, their request. He gave them another preacher or another king. But you know, it wasn't long until they said, bring back the old preacher! Bring back the old king! This new one. We thought we didn't want to hear the straight thing. We thought we didn't want to hear what was right. And wake us up! But we see where we're going. We see where He's taking us. Amen. There's some preachers that don't care whether you go to hell or not. They're not concerned about your soul. They were concerned about your influence. Long as they can keep influence with you. They can preach 5 weeks of revival and never mention a sin. It's all about what God will do. I've had preachers after preachers to come through here and preach a week and never stir the devil one bit. And people would shout and holler. And some of them were living for God and some of them were living for the devil. Are you listening to me? Go out the door and say, fine preaching, great preaching. I'm glad, best I've ever heard. Yeah, because that old pastor been dealing with your hide for a long time. There was one time you would break. was praying about this message, and I thought about that. Said we were one time we could break. I thought about preaching, we need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough where we can weep one more time before God. Weep over our sins and repent and ask God to forgive us. Ask God to help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, there's people right here in this church. You're further today than you were a month ago from God. You've been gradually backsliding for quite some time. There was a time you could get up here at this altar and shout and, amen, be the last one getting up and the first one there. But now, yet you don't have no desire to get to the altar. Why? It's like a person that did have a desire to pray, but when something entered into their heart and life, they wouldn't pray anymore. You either got to be a hypocrite to pray over top of sin and try to get God's attention. God's not going to give His attention in blessing. He'll give it in judgment, as He spoke last night. Amen. Hallelujah. What's happened to me? There's people has drifted away from God until they can come right into the church when the power of God's moving and people are shouting and praising the Lord, and they can go to sleep. Will you ask God the question, God, what's happened to me? I want to know. I want to get back to that place if you can. Carl, he said, was one of the greatest people in his church. He didn't have anything, but Carl got to be blessed. Man, he saw Carl missing on prayer meeting night. Missing revival. Doing other things rather than coming to God's house. When that starts, we better ask, what's happening to me? I don't have that desire to put God first anymore. Listen, when we can steal and don't have any conviction on it, you better ask God, what's happened to you? When we can lie, what's happened? One of these times you're going to come to the altar and you're going to find no tears. You're going to find no godly sorrow for your sins and no answer. Can't get through. After a while, Carl wasn't at church. This evangelist said, I left that revival and went, and a year later I returned. Carl wasn't there. One night he said, Carl, come in and sit way in the back. That's usually what people that's drifted away from God will do. They'll move from the front to the back. People that are drifting from God love the back seats. There's people right now that could be in this church if they were to do it. They're not too sick they couldn't come to church. The devil don't want some of you to hear this message this morning. When Carl came in, he sat in the back of the church, and just at the time that he would get the dealing with, the altar call for him to come and surrender all their life to him, Carl would get up and shoot out the door. There's some that still do that, but most of them will shoot out to the restroom. And it takes them a long time to use the restroom. They stay in there a long time until they think it's about over, and then they shoot out the restroom and out the door they go. There was a time that they used to love to take part in the youth service. Now they don't want to take no part in the youth service because they know there is a sin in the camp. When sin gets a hold of you, you don't want to do anything for God. Said the last night, he saw Carl grabbing a hold to the seat and shaking. But he wouldn't come. He talked to Carl. When he went out, he stayed that night. When he went out to go home, he said, "Carl, how are you doing?" "Oh, preacher, I'm doing better than I ever did in my life." He held up his hand and had a diamond on it, he said, as big as a marble. He said it was years ago. He said, "Dwight, you know what I paid for that diamond?" He said, "There was one time I was poor, but now I got plenty." He said, "I paid $47,000 cash money with that diamond. I'm doing all right. Doing okay." He said, "I got 40 houses going. I got a couple shopping centers bringing in the money." And this preacher said, "I just managed to get in. Carl, how is it with your soul?" "Oh, I'm all right. You don't have to worry about me. I've seen people sit right here in this church, Brother Darren. I saw them backsliding. I saw them going away from God. I saw them when they were faithful to the church. They were faithful. And then I saw them missing church and going shopping with somebody." Amen. You want to win your children or your loved ones, you better be faithful to God. Are you listening to me? Amen. I said, "Oh, right. Don't worry about me. One lady told me that's set right on this seat here. Said, don't you worry about me. I'm going to be all right. Don't worry about me. If I miss church, don't you worry about me." Where are they? They backslid. Can't touch them. Can't touch them. Said the last words that Carl said was, "Don't worry about me. I'll be all right." I've got enough to take care of me the rest of my days. That isn't it. We gain the whole world and lose our soul in the end. What has it profited? Come back another time. Just as dead. There's dead people in the church. Sitting right on the church pew and dying. Not because they have to. It's because they want to. They want to get out from under the pressure of living right. They say it's costing them too much to live right. It's costing the friends. What kind of friends do you want? It hadn't cost me anything that was worth anything to serve God. Them fellers that want to lead you deeper into sin and away from God, after a while you'll want to be like them. Some needs to get back to where they put God first. God does great things for him and they turn right around and slap him in the face. Carl come back another time but couldn't move him. Saw no move of God. Come out by this evangelist again and he said, right, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a dead man walking around. Can't feel God any longer. When you can't feel God in a service, it's something to get concerned about. Some of you are close till the door going shut. Will you this morning wake up and say, what's happened to me? While I still have a chance, the door's still open some. And I want to get in. Man. That I'm a walking dead man. And he said, I'll tell you what. Again, I got all the money that I need. And then he said the terrible thing. I don't need God. Some of you haven't complained out and said that, but your actions are speaking louder than your words. You're disobeying God. You're doing things against God. You won't move for God. You won't do anything for God. What you're saying, I don't need God anymore. What's happened to you? What's happened to you? That preacher said, it was 2 weeks later, got the phone call. Carl's had a massive heart attack. He's in the hospital and the doctor said he won't live more than 20 minutes and a half an hour at the most. Oh God, and can't get a hold of God. Can't hear from God. What happened? When God spoke to him and wooed and pulled at his heart, he resisted it. How many is God reminding you of what you're doing is not pleasing him? How many in this building today, you're doing what God wants you to do, or are you doing what you want to do? Don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm not going to listen to God. The Bible said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Carl died with all of his riches and went to hell. What happened? When he started making money, he started missing church. You better watch. Of trying to grab that dollar and miss church when you don't have to. You better be careful. I'm warning somebody. What's happened? A man said, to a preacher when he tried to get him to come to church, he said, my body will be filled with worms before I ever come to church. I don't want church. I don't want God. Now, people are not coming out and saying that, but when God speaks to them and says, I want you, and I want you to repent, I want you to come to church, I want you to be right with me, and they say, no, I want to do something else. Later, after he made that statement, he was sitting in his office when pains hit him in his stomach. Went to the hospital, and when they opened him up, he was being eat up alive with worms. The next time he went to church, he was full of worms eat up. But he didn't know nothing about it. It was his funeral. Don't let death have to bring you to your senses and tragedy and things before you wake up and say, what's happened to me? Seems like I can't get away from this. Irish people have given up their positions in church because they allowed worms to get on the inside. Worm of unconcern. Worms of jealousy. Amen. Worms of unconcern to get in their heart, get in their life. What's happened? Amen. Oh God. Eat up with worms. Never really had felt a pain in his life. Let me tell you something, folks. I'd rather lay down this mic right now than to insult the Holy Ghost. Somebody's insulting the Holy Ghost. You may not realize it and you may not know it, but you're blaspheming God. Go ahead, you can resist God. You can resist the Son of God. But you better be careful of resisting the Holy Ghost. He is the last to woo and pull at your heart. God has given him the privilege to walk amongst us last night, move. People responded with tears. The Holy Ghost wooed at some hearts, but they wouldn't pay no attention to Him. At one time when the Holy Ghost didn't move half that strong, people were responding to the altar with tears running down their cheeks and saying, God, I want to be what You want me to be. They're unmovable now. There's some right here this morning, I can tell. In your mind, you're saying, preacher, move me if You can. It isn't me that's going to move you. It's God that's going to move you. And if you don't move with God, you wouldn't move with the greatest preacher in the world. Amen. Oh God. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost. It's a dangerous thing when God speaks to you and you don't move, you don't obey Him, you don't yield to Him. Your heart gets hard. How many hearts is hard right here today? One time you listen and give an ear to God, but you don't care how loud God speaks and how loud He calls. You done got a hope to that little sin and you're going to do it. You better wake up and listen to me. God's still the same. He's still against sin and our worldly places and ungodly things. Amen. Sin don't take on no better. Look. Sin don't take on no better position but to destroy and kill. Are you listening to me? Amen. Oh God. And I'm going to try to close. In a meeting, in Dallas, Texas, I preached there. I know how they are. Amen. I've seen them sit there and ride the brakes when God was dealing with it. Go out to church and fuss and grumble and carry on. Amen. And then had to come back and repent. That's good if they do that. There was a time, folks, you feared to get around sin. Today, you can run with the sinful crowd. You can do the hook and crook the same way they do, and it doesn't bother you. You know why? Your conscience is sealed. What's happened to you? You have sealed your conscience against God. Amen. Money that's taken that away will turn to eat you like cancer. Amen. You're better off to die and they bury you in a pine box than to die and your family be riding in Lincolns and Cadillacs. Amen. My old dad was buried in an oak box. Welfare casket in an oak box for a vault. Hallelujah. But it didn't harm him and it didn't do anything to him because he was on the streets of glory over there. My dad never had a bank account. Amen. He just lived from one week to the other and hardly that. But thank God he'd come to church and play that violin. And many people were blessed and helped. Have you blessed anybody and helped since you got in that condition and won't do nothing for God? Won't even sing when you come to church, won't even clap your hands, won't even do anything for God? This preacher said, I saw the young lady near the back. I saw her under conviction. Some of you better listen to me today. If God ever says, preacher, leave them alone. That's one of the worst things can ever happen to you. God said, I have warned them. I have spoke to them. I have dealt with them. And they won't listen. Leave them alone. Seemed like God was running that over in my mind this morning. And I said, oh God, please. Let me fertilize them another while. Work around them. And that preacher went back to that young lady, Jody. He said, Jody, God's dealing with your heart. I believe you better come and give your heart to God tonight. And she said, Pastor, I can't do it. Why can't you do it, Jody? We're graduating next week. And I've been invited to a party with one of the most prominent boys in the school. And said, they're going to be dancing and drinking. And said, if I go up there tonight and give my heart to God, I won't be able to go to that party. You're right. Are some of you saying, what's happened to me? I want to go out and sin. I want to go out, amen, and smoke dope and drink whiskey and wine and go to the worldly places. One of these times you'll sit in that old worldly place and it'll be all over for you. Amen. We better watch where we go, what we do, what we think, what we say. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. This can be life to you or death. And she said, I can't come. But preacher, I promise you, I'll come next Sunday night and I'll give my heart to God. The party was on Thursday night there in Dallas, Texas. 10 o'clock that night, that pastor got a call. And at one of the schools where they was having the party, said, Pastor, there's been an explosion there. Come down as quick as you can. He said, I drove my car within about a mile of the place. Couldn't get no closer. Got out and walked. He said, when I entered that building, I heard screams. Screams of young men and young girls. Screaming and hollering. And he said, someone come and got me by the hand and said, Pastor, come over here. He said, there was a hole that was blowed in the center of that floor. Looked like an earthquake. It took place. I stepped over the bodies of young girls and young boys. And they led me to one and said, I believe here's one you can identify. He said, I walked over. And they pulled the sheet down. From the neck down, I couldn't tell whether it was a beast or what. But sit there, that beautiful face. I looked into the face of that girl that said, I'll come Sunday night and I'll give my heart to God. Sunday night never came for her. You listening to me? You say, I'm going to straighten up next week. I ain't going back with that same old crowd. I'm going to give this up and I'm going to give that up next week. You better do it now. God don't deal with people tomorrow. He says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow's not promised to us. What's happened to you? Amen. You better call on God today. Renew your vows to God and consecrate your life unto the Lord. Amen. Stand to your feet. Oh, why not now? You want to go to heaven, don't you? You don't want to go to hell? There's a lot of people that are just playing church. They're just playing church. Son, this is a serious business. You don't play with God like you play with a softball or a football. People are just playing church. You better stop playing church and get down to business with God. Amen. You better get your hands on the plow and not take them off. What God's give you to do in the church, you better do it with all of your might. When you don't have no desire to do what God give you to do in the church, you're fixing to backslide. You're making arrangements to backslide. You better hold on to God with all your might. You better say, sink or swim or drown, I'm going to go on with God. Amen. How long has it been since you really felt that heart need to get in the altar and say, God, something's happening to me. I'm not like I used to be. Going through a lot of motions. Amen. I'll tell you something, folks. It's not enough to join the church. Not enough to play the musical instruments. It's not enough to teach a Sunday school class. We must be prepared to meet God. Amen. The man that sat in his office made fun of God and bragged about God. On his way to work one morning, put the key in the door to open up his office and died instantly. God, I would be afraid to give up my position in the church. Because I wanted to do something that was worldly. I'd want to go with some worldly people. I'd be afraid. But I've seen people give up their positions in the church, Sunday school teachers, and never think nothing about it. And again, I tell you, as I've told you quite often recently, they're backslid. They're away from God. They're untouchable. They know something's happened to them. There's going to come a day they're going to seek God, and He won't be found. He'll hide his face from them. What's happened? What's happened to you? I'm concerned about your soul. You can go to old worldly parties and put all you got into it. But when church time comes, you get that old morpus de pauperis spirit. That's laziness. Indifferent. You know why? Because God's not in your heart like He used to be. Amen. You make excuses for it. But God knows when you're making excuses. A lady by the name of Sister Garrison, I think it was Louise Garrison, her husband, come to church a while and then get drunk a while. And she'd come and make excuses for him. And her own dad said, Louise is a good woman, but she sure will make excuses for that author. You don't make excuses for people that's sinning. If you don't stand against that, you won't stand at all. Amen. Some of you better get a desire back in your heart to come to be regular to the house of God. You say, I got this to do around the house, I got that to do. You better do what God requires you to do. Amen. If that old lawn gets so high, you got to get a hay baler in there. You better please God. Are you listening to me? What's happened to me, preacher? What's happened to me? While they play a song and sing it, you know, I'm not going to ask for the raising of the hands, but you know what's happened to you. You know what's been happening for a while. I could tell you some of the things that's happened to some of you. But I don't need to, because God's dealing with your heart right this morning. Will you have enough of God left in your heart to get in this altar today and say, Lord, I don't want to die the death of the sinner. Lord, I don't want to be cut off at a young age. I read it this morning. If we'll trust and obey God and keep His commandments and do what He said, and He'll make a way for us. Will you step out of your seat today? If you're not moved by the preaching today to repent and do something about your life, God may just tell me not to bother with you anymore. Come on. I'd like to see some tears on this altar. There was one time you'd come and leave tears on the altar. What's happened to you now? What's happened, folks? Young people, one time you was interested in playing an instrument on this platform, but now you're not interested in nothing but sitting in the back of church. You better get a hold of God. Quit that playing, church. Pray and seek the Lord. Pray and seek God. God, what's happening to me? I don't have it any longer. Oh God, wake me before I die. God, help me to get through to you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
close.
Help me to get through to you, God, this morning, and restore me with the joy of the Lord. God, don't take thine Holy Spirit from me, please, Lord, don't.
Don't let that door of mercy close on you.
Oh, God.
Time is swiftly passing. Enter while you may. Don't let that door.
What's happened to me, Lord? What's happened to me?
Don't let that door.
Right.
Of mercy.
I don't feel nothing dealing with me anymore. I'm a walking dead man.
Let that door of mercy close on you.
What's happened? The Spirit of God can be leaving you, and
time
you don't
is swiftly
seem to care.
Enter while you may. Don't let that door of mercy.
You don't seem to care. You don't weep over your soul anymore.
Let that door.
Nor do you weep over the souls of others.
Close on you. Don't let that door of mercy.
Something has entered into your life. It's taken place of God.
Time is swiftly passing.
Oh, God.
While you may, don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't
you're going to lose that family of yours.
Of mercy close on you. Don't let that.
Haven't you been taught
of mercy
that God comes first?
Is swiftly passing.
You don't know how swiftly your time is passing.
You may. Don't let that door of mercy close on you.
Pastor, can you tell me what's wrong?
That door.
Can you tell me what's happened to me? I can't feel God when you preach anymore.
That door.
I can't feel the needing of praying through.
Close on you.
Oh, God.
For time is swiftly passing.
Jesus.
Enter.
Jesus.
While you may. Don't let that door of mercy close on you.
Oh, is that door closing?
Don't let that door.
How nigh is that door to be closed and locked?
Close on you.
And you won't be able to get a hold of God.
Don't let that door of mercy close on you.
Amen. You better be around people that encourage you to serve God and live for God. Instead of poison your mind. Feed you poison. Oh, God.
Of mercy. Close on you.
Jesus. Help everyone here. Help us to examine ourselves.
Don't let the door.
Someone needs a praying through.
Close on you.
Say, God, help me to quit playing church.
Time is swiftly passing.
My heart is not really in serving God, only just about 50%.
That door of mercy closes on you.
You don't care whether you please God anymore or not.
That door of mercy closes on you.
some of you don't value the blessings of God on your life at all.
Of mercy.
You're doing things that's taken that away from you.
Time is swiftly passing.
Will you pray about it?
Enter.
Will you pray about your condition?
You don't let the door.
Will you humbly ask the Holy Ghost to help you to wake up before you die? Oh God.
That door.
Oh God.
Of mercy. Close on you.
What's wrong when you have the opportunity to pray that you won't pray long?
Of mercy, close on you.
You know you're dying. You know you're slipping away. You know you're getting cold.
Time is swiftly passing. Enter one.
And you know what it's going to take for you to get back to that place that you once was.
Of mercy, close on you. The door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Time is swiftly passing. Enter while you may. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you.
How long has it been since you felt the Holy Ghost touch your life at an altar?
Don't let that door.
Where you wanted to surrender all and just give up all for Jesus.
Don't let that door of mercy close on you.
Let me tell you, friend. While your family's backsliding, if you ain't careful, you'll backslide with them. You'll lose out with God because you're not praying like you ought to be praying. All you're doing is getting on your knees and thinking about your troubles and thinking about what's happening. Oh, God. You know you've lost out with God. While the door is still open, don't say next Sunday night, next Sunday. Amen. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Time is swiftly passing. Enter while you may. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Time is swiftly passing. Enter while you may. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Don't let the door of mercy close on you. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. Time is swiftly passing. Enter while of mercy close on you. The door of mercy close on you. Oh, don't let that door of mercy close on you. You know time, it is swiftly passing. Enter while you may. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. No, don't let the door of mercy close on you. Don't let the door of mercy close on you. Time is swiftly passing, and life will soon be through. Don't let that door of mercy close on you. The door of mercy closing.
Somebody's asking already this morning, there was a time I could go feel God. There's a time I could go feel the Lord. But what's happened to me? I can't do that now. You know why you resisted God so many times? Now you can say, I'll go home and I won't come back no more. That's between you and God. Amen. I haven't got a thing to do with that. I can't feel nothing from God. What did you do when you could feel something for God? You didn't value it anything. You went on and lived in sin. You went on and lived in adultery. You went on. And what you might have said, having your fun. But it's not funny now when you can't feel God. Not funny now when you come to an altar and have to get up and go away from it, not feeling like you're safe in the arms of Jesus. God didn't bring that on you. He tried every way He could to get you to straighten up and do right, and you wouldn't do it. You had something on the inside of you that rebelled against what God wanted you to do. I don't care if you're the priest's son, the priest's daughter, brother to the preacher, brother, sister to the preacher. You've got to listen to God. Amen. I've heard people say, well, you're not my preacher and I don't have to listen to you. I can listen to my preacher. Go ahead. But God expects you, amen, to live right. Amen. You'll have to answer to God. You won't have to answer to the priest or the preacher. I see the parking lot filled full when I come to church on Sunday morning now. down at the new cathedral of people going to hell. Amen. And a little bit before I get to it, I see another one on the other side. Parking lots packed of people going to hell. Amen. And yet you come to this church, but you'll wind up right there with them if you don't listen to God. Better listen to the Lord. Amen. I haven't preached this without lots of meditation and seeking God. What's happened? What's happened to me? We can see something happening to others, but can we see what's happening to us? It's like Brother Rich preached. We can see what's happening to other people's children, but can we see what's happening to our children? We never took it into no consideration when it was happening to other people's children. We just lifted our heads with pride. And like the man that went to the temple to pray, told God all that what he was, and he wasn't like the fella that, even like that old publican over there, "Lord, I pay my tithe, I do this, I do that." But God said he went down a sinner the same way. And that old publican over there smote his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He went down justified. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Sing us another song while these continue to pray. I hope God has touched every heart in this building today. I feel like God's saying to some, turn around, turn around. Amen. You saw people leave this church. Go back in sin. Go to another church and go on professing. But you'll be the next one if you ain't careful. You'll be the next one if you're not careful. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Dead. Dead. Jesus said there is a group that worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Somebody better stop long enough to say, "God, what's happened to me? I'm not what I used to be. I'm not like I used to be. I can't feel your presence to weep anymore." If you remember the time that you'd come to church and Holy Ghost would move you and weep and cry and get in the altar and weep and cry, and you don't do that anymore, you better ask, "What's happened to me?" Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't take more than signing a church card. Take more than shaking a preacher's hand. Don't take more than just singing out of the hymn books. Don't take the blood of Jesus Christ covering your soul because you repented and let God have His way in your life.
somebody is fearing God right now.
God knows how to strike home. It may not happen to the one that you point your finger at. It may happen to the finger pointer. Some folks don't have no more concerned about God than to get up and walk right out while an altar call has begun to give it. Oh, it's something at home they got to do. Yeah. You'll have an eternity to remember that. I know I was loud. I know I was no doubt hard, but folks, I got to stand before God. How many of you in here know that I've got to stand before God when I stand before this group here? Amen. I'm going to have to stand and give an account. If I saw the wolf coming and I didn't warn you. Amen. Blood's going to be at my hands. And that's my greatest concern when I stand behind that pulpit. That I can get the blood off of my hands and get it on yours. Amen. And I believe I've got the blood off of my hands. And I've got it on yours this morning. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? Some of you need to pray through. You know you've lost it. Sit there through an entire service and never feel God tug at your heart. And there's sin in your life. Oh, God. Sing for us a song, and then we'll have the ushers to come.
Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Oh, yes, oh, oh, to God's unchanging hand. Would you build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand? Oh, yes, hold to God's unchanging hand.
How many of you know what Genesis chapter 3 or chapter 6 and verse 3 says? Memorize that. Mark it down.